And yet one night in 1963, Michael Myers did murder his sister in that upstairs bedroom with a large butcher knife.
Michael Myers was pure evil. He took our dreams and turned them into nightmares.
Good evening, I'm Michael Myers.
It's still spooky month, October, and this week we want to know what your favorite Halloween is. No, not your favorite Halloween memory. We've talked about that before, and, well, frankly, it would be difficult for you to share that with us unless you put it in the comments below. But we want to talk about the movie. There are 13, I believe, Halloween films. Only one is set outside of the Michael Myers universe, and only four are considered canon. Isn't that weird? It's confusing. But first, let's talk with our friend Josh Warren. An Atlanta actor who is very funny and currently appearing in the AMC Shudder reality show Guts and Glory, produced by Greg Nicotero of The Walking Dead fame. Now, we can't ask him an awful lot about it because, well, you know, there are rules. Josh, you will have seen in Welcome to Flatch, The Righteous Gemstones, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, where you heard him, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, Trouble with the Curve, Footloose, and countless other credits. So please welcome to the show, Josh Warren.
I'm doing the best I can here, all right?
I think we all had a chance to watch at least the first episode. Did everybody get a chance to watch
that? Yeah, I watched both of them.
Yeah, I watched both of them.
And there are certain things you can't talk about, of course, since you're a contestant on that show. But I will say that you're my favorite. Even if I didn't know you, I'd be like, I like that guy the best.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said today.
Brady's the best, but then Josh is second best.
Who's Brady?
The blonde girl.
Chick.
Eyelashes.
Yeah, she's funny. She, like, that episode or whatever where she was like, those guys haven't gotten to know me yet. They just think I'm a bimbo or whatever, but I'm coming after them.
How many episodes are out now of Guts and Glory? Are we on?
There's two. The third one episode comes out on Tuesday. They drop on Tuesdays.
And what can you actually talk about? Can you talk about anything? Because
yeah, you know, can you talk about what you would win if you won the entire show?
Yeah, you know that car that Greg drove in on? That's it. Yeah, I think it's like some type of Kia SUV or...
And these contestants, they're from all over the country. I thought everybody was just... Where'd they shoot this? In Alabama?
Yeah. It's in Alabama. In the swamplands of Alabama.
Yeah, some swamp, some alligators in the first episode.
I didn't even know alligators came this far north. I knew somehow they got to South Carolina. I don't know how, but I thought they were just in Florida.
No. They're even in South Georgia.
They're even in Macon. They just
the
like a week ago.
It's not the Woolly Swamp, but the Okefenokee Swamp.
Woolly Swamp. That's a Charlie Daniels song.
Never go down to the Woolly Swamp.
Better not go at night. There's things out there in the middle of them woods that make a strong man die from fright.
Can't believe it. You gotta find out for yourself.
You couldn't conceive it. Because I never would listen to nobody else.
Whatever. That guy was cool. Yeah. At least 70s he was. That song came out in 79 because I used to call every radio station and you know that I could call locally and demand that they play it. Keep playing. All right, kid. Explain what the show is, by the way. It's Guts and Glory. It's a reality show. You've seen reality shows. It's a competition. But this one is horror-related, which is why it's on Shudder, which is why Greg Nicotero from The Walking Dead is involved in this.
The legendary Greg Nicotero.
That's right. And he's presently working on another series, like a prequel series. I forget what the name of it is.
Oh, the one, is it Very Young Frankenstein?
Yes, you can talk about it. Yeah, Very Young Frankenstein.
Okay, being. All right. I didn't know if that was announced or not.
It came out last week, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I think he's doing the VFX stuff for that.
Nice.
SFX. VFX is, in the business, VFX is computer-generated graphics.
Boy,
you don't know, Dustin.
Yes, I'm very familiar with Gentigration.
Yeah, computer Gentigration.
Guts and Glory, AMC Plus and Shudder. It's one of those reality shows, but it's horror based, and there are, you know, challenges, and everybody's sleeping in a tent. How did you handle sleeping in a tent? You don't seem to be a tent guy to me.
It was the beginning of spring. Once it got to be nightfall in that little camp area, it dropped by midnight to about 30 degrees. Ugh. And I don't know. I'd look out for some, maybe some comments on my snoring throughout this thing, maybe. apparently I kept everybody up on the first night because they thought that a bear was getting into the campsite because I'm snoring so loud.
Did they hate you after that?
I think they felt sorry for me for my sleep apnea. They were like, that poor fat guy.
They didn't even let him bring his CPAP machine. They may have put it in the bag with his phone.
Yeah. They were like, here's your phone, and that CPAP machine's coming with us, too.
Yeah. First episode of Guts and Glory, it sort of ends in a weird thing. Like, this poor girl was using her phone, and then she ends up getting killed in the swamp. No, I don't know.
That's some Predator-type shit there.
Some real Predator-type shit going on.
We were dying when you said that. And then when you said, whatever happened to, what was it, Julian? Whatever happened to Julian anyway?
We're going to have to find out what happened to poor Julian. But like, from what I could see from episode 2, she's part of the undead now.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
The walking undead.
We were, the Joneses, especially Alistair, was absolutely belly laughing at you digging into the corpse when you had to find the tags. Yeah.
I really appreciate you guys keeping up with the Joneses, by the way. Yeah. That place smelled incredibly bad.
Did they use fart spray?
I don't know what it was, but it was the worst smelling room I've ever been in. Like, I may have played a mortician, but I've never been in a real morgue. Yeah. Whatever they used was the most god-awful smell on the face of the earth. Actually, that was a real dead body we were digging through. It smelled bad because he was rotten.
Yeah, well, that's what I told Al. I was like, it's not real. He's like, I know, Mom.
I know, Mom.
You're really ruining it.
I know, bro.
You're really ruining it for him, Izzy.
Well, he's got to know that we're not his... The guy that he has worked with, Josh, isn't digging in a dead body. You know what I mean?
I mean, does he have to know that? my buddy, you know Blake. We went to high school together, Lizzie and I. And my ID series, do you guys remember that? I don't know if we ever talked about that. It was Your Worst Nightmare, Horror, and the Heartlands. And I literally played Chester. And they're like, the directions were like, you're on every drug imaginable. And I'm like, how do you do that?
How
do you do every drug imaginable? And so I was like, well, this is one of those ID series, so I can really like ham it up for this thing. And I end up like, these people out in the woods and chopping them up, and our buddy Blake's mom was like, what is Josh doing all of this? And Blake was like, Mom, he's not really doing that. It's a character he's playing.
So is it a real person? Chester McKnight, was that a real person?
Yeah, based on a true story.
I was watching it, and I wasn't watching it being like, oh, I'm going to watch this because my friend Josh is in it. We were just watching it one night, and I was like, oh, there he is.
Yeah, you don't like this guy at all, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I was like, really? Thanks.
There was another thing I was watching. It was some kind of prank show. I guess filmed in Atlanta. And it was another time where me and Al were watching it because he loves prank shows. And I was like, there's Josh.
Yeah, the hot dog thing?
Yes, the hot dog thing. You were hilarious in that.
What was the name? I can't remember.
I
just did that last year. I'm like, I can't remember what the name of that show was.
I've done that a few times. I'll be flipping through stuff and watching. I'm like, was that Josh? And I'll go back and look. And I'm like, yep, it was Josh.
I am not an actor in any way. I'm a caretaker for my father.
I mean, you are a caretaker for your father.
Well, that is true now, but normal actors can audition for reality shows too and not know what's going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, just,
yeah, absolutely.
Just for that to be out there for.
I could tell you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
No. You know, it was a lot of fun. Poor Julian is dead. She was she was attacked by something in the woods and found, what was that, 20 feet up in a tree?
You yeah. found the body. Didn't you find the body?
Yeah. No, that other girl found the body.
She and I are very similar. We look alike. Okay. We have a similar style. Now, all the contestants, though, were, like, real fun, funny people, too. It was a blast.
It looks like everybody's having a good time, even that one guy.
What's the guy's name that's in the, like, crocheted sweater? Because I love him. Yeah, he's like, I've never left my home, town. Yeah. Like, he's nervous about everything.
He's the sweetest agoraphobe I've ever met in my life. We were talking to him, too. It was like, I've never done anything like you. What I really loved about it too is he took it all like so seriously, and he really, you know, he wants to win.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's proud of himself, and I like that.
I like the part where he's like, "I'm an asset to this team, and they know it."
I don't know how I feel about the stay-at-home mom.
Oh, really?
I mean, I'm not hating or anything. I just don't know. I just don't know yet.
Yeah,
shouldn't you be into her because you're a stay-at-home mom?
Oh, good question.
I mean, not all stay-at-home moms are alike, Tim.
Well, they're in support each other.
I'm not bragging her. I'm saying, yeah, that's cool. She's doing a show. I'm just saying I don't know how I feel about her. I feel like she says some pretty cocky, arrogant things. Uh-oh. And she doesn't want to get her hands dirty.
Did you like the guy that said Josh wasn't the brightest bulb in the shed?
That was that made me mad.
Yeah.
I hope Josh kicks his ass.
I like, you know, it's all like everybody's judging the book by the cover.
Yeah.
Immediately when they're meeting people. And then he was the guy who was like, Josh is the cryptid expert. And I was like, yes. I am?
Yeah, like, right. I wouldn't call myself an expert.
Speaking of which, we finished that Bigfoot documentary.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Oh, the one that you met, what was his name, Turtle Man?
Yeah, Turtle Man and Mountain Man. But you can see, like, clips from it on Facebook and on YouTube called I Believe in Bigfoot Project.
Okay. Is that going to be the name of the documentary?
I think the name of the documentary is going to be I Believe in Bigfoot.
Nice. All right. Cool. When's it coming out?
We just finished like the last interview with my buddy Kelly, actor turned Bigfoot hunter.
That's a dramatic change in career.
Is it?
We'll hunt for things that aren't real. That's my question.
I mean, what else? That's what acting is.
I was going to say,
you just summed up acting.
There you go.
It's the ultimate hunt for what's not real.
What are we looking at? Maybe spring?
Yeah, maybe. I can text him later and send you an update, Dustin.
Cool. What do you got to do? You got to go pitch it to the different streaming services, or are you just releasing it yourselves?
Well, he apparently knows the guy that's like basically starting like a cryptid streaming service.
Oh, that'll be a hit.
For like cryptid documentaries.
Yeah.
I really hope it'll be a hit. You know, Amazon plays all those things. A lot of them are pretty terrible.
I know. You go scrolling through Amazon, and once you get past everything you know, you start seeing shit like, oh, who gave them this money?
Dog Man.
Yeah, Dog Man. Of
like, they still haven't paid off the credit cards for that one yet.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure my big Kelly's in the same boat.
Labyrinth has wonderful sponsors, and I'd like to talk about our most recent sponsor. That is the Punchline Comedy Club in Sandy Springs, Georgia. The Punchline, it's the premier comedy club in the city of Atlanta, and it has the longest storied history. Let me tell you who's coming up at the Punchline in Sandy Springs. The 24th through the 26th of this month, we have comedian Jeff Dye. Moving on to November 7th through the 9th is Alonzo Bowden. He's a very funny guy. November 14th through the 16th, you have Leslie Lau. The 20th through the 22nd, Josh Sneed, who will be on this show. And then in December, the first weekend in December, which is the 4th through the 6th, comedian Erica Rhodes, who's very funny. She used to be on Prairie Home Companion. She's very funny. She'll be hopefully joining us on this program. For tickets and information, go to punchline.com. And this week, be looking for, well, if you're a Patreon member, look for it, how you can win a pair of tickets to see an upcoming show at the Punchline. Well, Josh, we're going to talk about the Halloween movies. You and I talked a little bit about that yesterday. You're a fan. And
yes.
Do you want to join us?
Yeah, I love talking about Halloween. Dr. Loomis is one of my favorite characters in horror. Michael!
Go
home, Michael! We are evil.
There are 13 Halloween movies.
Really?
There are 13. One of them is completely no Michael Myers, except you see him on a TV screen because somebody's watching Halloween. You have the original film, which came out in 1978 with Jamie Lee Curtis, Donald Pleasance. Who is that actress with the blonde hair that everybody loved because she was so cute back then? Do you know what I'm talking about, Jeff? She's in the Ramones movie, Rock and Roll High School.
PJ Souls.
Oh, PJ. Yeah, PJ Souls.
As far as the Michael Myers films, the continuity, there are three different continuities. Only one of them is canon. So you start in 1978. John Carpenter makes this low-budget film, which just explodes, and everybody loves it, and it's fantastic, and it's scary. Now, I read the novelization before I ever watched the movie.
Well, I didn't know it came from a novel.
No, it didn't. But they do novelizations, or they used to in movies. So I read that. And it scared the crap out of me. And then I watched it on regular TV and then eventually HBO. Halloween 2 comes out in 1981. I liked that at the time. I don't know that I would still like it because it's just a continuation and it's just more murder and mayhem.
It's good. It's good.
I love Halloween 2.
It's so good. Yeah. The Halloween 3 comes out and that's an anthology movie. They didn't want to, John and his wife didn't want to do another Michael Myers movie. So they did this interesting film that nobody liked at the time, but since it came out and now people look back and revere it, it's kind of creepy and scary.
I need to rewatch it. Every time they shout it, I've always been like, I'm skipping 3.
But it's good. Give it a chance. It's a good movie. It was maligned because of
Season of the Witch one.
Yeah.
With the mask. Yeah. I watched it a couple weeks ago. I was like, I mean,
well, the idea was originally that Carpenter was going to make Halloween was the first one. And then it was going to, every movie was going to be different, but called Halloween. And they made so much money on the first one that they just steamrolled them into the second. And then the idea didn't fly very well when you throw it in third place and name it Halloween.
Right, like almost like it should have been like, all right, let's do the Season of the Witch and then do Halloween 2.
Yeah, if he'd have just dropped the Halloween off of it and called it Season of the Witch, I think it would have probably done much better.
Yeah.
6 years goes by and, you know, between releases, they reach out to John Carpenter and they say, you know, come back, make another one with Michael Myers. And they come up with a script where he's a phantom or whatever. He's not really in the film, but he's like an evil spirit, and they don't like that, the producers of the film. And you can, by the way, there are tons of videos on YouTube that'll break these all down if you really want to dive deep. But Halloween 4 comes out in 1988, and this is Michael Myers going after his niece, Jamie Lloyd, which is, of course, Laurie Strode's daughter. Laurie Strode having been killed in a car accident because Jamie Lee Curtis by that time was a regular movie star and wanted nothing to do with it. So you have Halloween 4, which I'm sure Jeff and I went and saw in the theater, didn't we?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yes, it's the only one of those films in that trilogy of films that I actually like.
Yeah, I love 4.
Yeah.
I thought it was the return to form, as they say.
Yeah, 4 was pretty scary.
It was the closest to 1.
Sleeping on 4 then, huh?
It was a callback to 1. What's that?
I said I'm sleeping on 4. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Give it a chance.
It's great. Yeah,
it's 4 really is awesome.
But then a year later, you get Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. They start introducing the Man in Black and the cult and the, all that weird stuff. That movie is not good. Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers comes out in 1995. It expands on the Thorn cult mythology. But, and the only thing notable about that one is that Paul Rudd is in it. And that's his first.
Oh, the baby. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you end up having is that's the first timeline. Well, Halloween H2O comes out. When did that come out? 1998. That erases everything from 2 all the way to 6 or whatever. Yeah, 4, 5, and 6. So it becomes the direct sequel, the 1998 to the original Halloween. Jamie Lee Curtis returns. She's Laurie Strode. And it sets off another, you know, what are this? There's 2 movies.
Yeah, she's at a private school.
Yes.
With her son, which is Josh Hartnett. That's her son.
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett, more like it.
Yeah.
LL Cool J was in that one.
That's
too.
Right. LL Cool J was in that. I saw that one in the theater.
2002, Halloween Resurrection comes out. She's Laurie Strode again. You got Busta Rhymes this time.
Oh, Tyra Banks. Yeah, that's the reality show one.
Yeah, the reality show. That one's not good.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, yeah, Busta Rhymes sets up a house with all these cameras in it and makes a reality show. And it was in the Strode house.
Right.
So he makes a reality show based on it, and he comes after him. That one was those last two you've mentioned were both big pushes on MTV.
Yeah.
They were the main ones pushing it. So you had all these hot stars at the time.
I was going to say, I want to know who was in charge of casting. Like, who's the reality producer?
Those two sequels, they do relatively well at the box office. Then you fast forward to 2007 and 2009, and you get the abortions that are known as the Rob Zombie universe of Halloween. Now, I do not like either of them. I think they're the story of the first one is interesting. And, of course, you have Malcolm McDowell playing Dr. Loomis. Really, the first Halloween that Zombie puts out in 2007, it focuses on Michael's abusive childhood and retells the 78 film. And then in 2009, the Halloween 2 comes out, and it's even more violent and ridiculous. I have nothing good to say about either of those films. I do like House of 1,000 Corpses, those movies that he made. Yeah. But he should never be allowed to direct a film after the Munsters movie that he made.
His Michael Myers masks in the movie looks like Mickey Rourke.
Yeah. Instead of William Shatner.
Yes. And I'm like, I don't know. There was just the second one annoyed me. It really annoyed me to where like I second guessed my liking of the first one.
Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. It was all shot here in Covington, Georgia. Okay.
Yes.
So they were able to turn Halloween, you know, the square and everything else into Haddonfield. My sister is in it. There's a scene where they have a giant, like a party, like a costume party. And they shot it in a steel mill, you know, a couple miles down the road. And it was 4 days, extreme high heat, but they were all in makeup and everything else. And they had them in tents. And you can see my sister for about 2 seconds. Worth of it. But she said that everybody was really cool. It was a laid back set, but Zombie pretty much was dictating everything to his ADs and didn't really do all the hands on work on set.
I just know there's a lot of boobs in that movie, like even up on stage, like because it looks like they're at a bar or something. You said it's a warehouse.
Yeah, it's the facade. The building is still there. I mean, it looks almost just like it did in the movie.
But I know there's boobs in like a lot of the Halloween movies, but there was like a lot in that movie. Yeah. Like they had like a random girl up on stage, just like dancing with like her perfect boobs out.
And Tyler Mane, he was the one playing Michael in that one, the wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in both of those.
Yeah, he was huge.
He was really nice. Who
convinced Rob Zombie that he could direct movies?
People took his stage productions.
Yeah.
And he wanted to equate that into a movie. Him more than likely, because he's such a huge, like, you know, B movie
He's an interesting person, and he knows a lot, but just don't make the movies.
I don't hate his movies.
Yeah.
I don't hate them. You can produce them. Yeah. Did he direct his own music videos or anything like that, you think?
Yeah, he always did.
Yeah, so that probably makes sense. Yeah. That tracks, as the kids say.
That tracks, yeah.
The official canon trilogy. Everything is erased prior to this. It comes out, what year did it come out? 2018, Halloween. That is, it is now a direct sequel to the original 1978 movie. Michael being Laurie's brother, Laurie being Michael's sister, that is gone. That plot point is gone. This is directed by David Gordon Green, primarily written by him and Danny McBride, and it's the Blumhouse trilogy. So
that's the one with the stuff with the mask.
Yes.
Yeah. You were talking about how they came to Carpenter and they had the idea of Michael just being an evil entity that moves like a ghost. Yes. That's what they incorporated into Green's version.
Yes.
That's why when there's that horrible scene that everybody talks about and kills, about how when that one kid reaches and then he grabs his hand, and when he grabs his hand, it transfers Michael's evil into him. So they used that plot point that Carpenter came up with, and it was supposed to be the original content. So that's why Green was so happy to go with it. But he didn't realize that those executives probably had the right idea when they turned it down the first time.
What I've always liked about Michael is, like, and what's so terrifying to me about him versus, like, Jason Voorhees is I've always been like, how is he a normal guy that can't be killed?
Right.
Yeah. Like, I always just figured him as some, like, possessed psychopath rather than, like, some... Like, I like, for me, I like, I think that's more scary than being like, here's another Phantasm movie.
Yeah.
Hey, those are good even though they're not good.
The Phantasm?
I love all of them, yeah. So I have to viciously defend them.
Like, no, I'm telling you, Phantasm is garbage, Tim. You don't know anything about the business. Get out of your own podcast.
Well, I told them that Phantasm was a great movie with the tall man. I really like Angus Scrimm. Is that his name? Angus Scrimm, you know, the guy, the tall man. He's the guy, the guy. He's you know, it's a scary movie with the flying ball and the yellow blood. And it opens with a beautiful sex scene in a cemetery. So
I want to see some Trump on Trump action.
We do a lot of Trump on Trump. You know, we like to get all Trumpy together.
Josh does the, you know, the more aggressive Trump. You know what I do? I do the you know, okay, well, I'm doing the, you know, the 2025. I'm really tired and old.
You're the one who followed up Full Metal Hegseth.
Yeah, Full Metal. I love Full Metal. Everybody likes Pete Hegseth. You know who people really like? Steve Miller. Wow, they love Stephen Miller. Woo woo. This is the story about Billy Joe and, but no, not that Steve Miller, but they like, look, I don't know. Look, Elon's been bad. Look, we're talking about Halloween. Mike Myers, not a good guy. He should be in a prison in El Salvador. Do you think he'd kill all of them down there? I don't know. I mean, he's supernatural, right?
We're thinking about just letting him loose on, you know, the boat.
We've talked about that. We've talked about dropping him in the middle of the Gulf of America to protect our boats. And
I love it. I love the Gulf of America. That was a great idea. You know, that was our idea. We came up with such a good idea.
It was a good idea, I think. You know, I'm very tired these days. I don't do a lot of the motions, the moves.
You think it's because you only sleep 3 or 4 hours a day, and that's all you really need is 3 or 4 hours of sleep?
Well, when I get on the plane, I walk up the beautiful Air Force One, you know, unlike
the beautiful staircase.
You're right, it's fake. Well, Joe Biden would fall up and, you know. So I get in there and the first thing they do is they hand me a hot French fries from McDonald's, and then I have a filet of fish and a Big Mac and a quarter pounder, and I mash them all together into one sandwich. I believe they call it a McGangbang, something like that.
A McGangbang.
McGangbang.
McGangbang. I thought you said McCain Bang.
No.
All right. No more Trump. That was a news story today that somebody came out and said as soon as he steps on the plane and the door closes, they have to hand him fries. This guy's 80 and all he eats is shit.
By the way, Full Metal Hegseth, coined by Brad Binkley of the Propaganda Report.
There you go. Give him proper credit where proper credit is due.
Yeah, otherwise Brad's going to lose his mind, and you know how Brad gets.
I want to know who came up with the name Gravy Seals. That's my favorite one for the ice guys.
One. Now, one more thing about that Halloween trilogy is one thing I really liked is how they took the events that happened right after the first original movie from 78 and they shot all this new stuff that it really jives with the movie, the original movie.
The new ones?
Yeah.
They mesh well with the flashbacks to the...
The Danny McBride influence was pleasant in those. I never saw the very last one, but was definitely some funny stuff that you know Danny McBride
came up.
So wait a minute, the new Halloweens, those are now canon and the originals aren't?
The first movie from 78, and then it picks up in 2018 with Halloween, and then Halloween Kills, and then Halloween Ends. So the David Gordon Green trilogy from Blumhouse is the official canon. So there are four official movies in canon.
The last one's the one where they have the kill house or whatever, right?
Yeah. Well, they put it in a meat grinder or something.
It's multiple. There's multiple times they're in that kill house from all three movies, actually.
Yeah.
I'm confused. So
I don't know if I've seen all those or not. I know I saw Halloween Kills and Halloween.
Yeah.
They're worth a view.
Yeah. Ian's
so is decent. The movie where he's the kid's possessed and dating Lori's granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the last one.
Yeah.
That was the last one. Okay.
Yeah.
And, and Lori is not Michael's sister.
Nope. Not Michael's sister.
I don't like that. I don't like that very much at all.
Yeah. Oh, really? And the second one, we find out that she's Michael's sister, right? Well,
that was the tie to make the second one. That was the compromise they made when he wasn't going to make a second one to begin with. He was going to go right into Season of the Witch. And they were like, no, we can make one, make it his sister, and then continue the story into the hospital. And that's why they did it.
And that's why he doesn't die, because he's out for his sister.
I thought she was always his sister, according to Carpenter's movies.
Nope, not the first one. In the first one, the only reason that he goes after her is because
he lives in the house.
She goes up to the house and puts the key under the doormat, and he's in there watching her do it. And from that point on, he follows both her and the little boy she's talking to to get back to her.
I don't know. I don't know if I've... Then why, when I first originally watched the first one, did I just assume it was his sister?
I feel like with people our age, it was embedded in us.
They left it open.
We always knew that Mrs. Voorhees was the actual killer. Right?
Until the
spoiler alert.
I watched it with my daughter when she was
Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. 13th is Mrs. Voorhees, who was the killer.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Was like we, like people our age always, like it was born embedded to us. Or it was.
Yeah, because you'd seen the first movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Assumed that Lori was Michael's sister. Oh, just like we always knew that Mrs. Voorhees was the real killer.
And they also don't explain why Jason is some... Like, is there some type of radioactive sludge in that kid's lake? Or, why did he come back? Is he an avenging spirit?
It's sheer vengeance. Yeah. Because he watched them, he watched the girl behead his mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love watching.
After they let him drown.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love watching Friday the 13th with somebody that doesn't know that, like Bella.
Yes.
When I first watched it with her. That was a great experience because, I just knew.
Well, it's funny watching a lot of the people do reaction videos, and they're all this young generation, and they're like, "Oh, we're going to watch all the Friday the 13th movies," and they sit down to watch the first one, and they get to the end of it, and they're all dumbfounded.
Yeah,
by the fact that Jason's not even in it at all, except for that jump in.
Yeah,
And
then the second one, and you see the guy in the wheelchair fall down 80.
Yeah.
Listen, Josh, thank you for coming on the show with us. If you're out there and you watch this and you're a big Halloween fan and you want to know more, just there's a million videos. Well, actually, probably 100 or maybe a little bit more than that. But there's really good deep dives breaking down every single film. And if you're a super fan and you never watched them, do it. That's what I've been doing the last couple of weeks. I'm more into Halloween this year than I have been. I guess it's because my son's getting older. And he's
that should be fun. Y'all, what's he going to be this year?
A race car driver.
Nice.
Radio Labyrinth has sponsors. In fact, we have two delightful sponsors I'd like to tell you about right now. The first one being our longest sponsor, Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is the place to be, proudly serving you the best pizza and euros in the city. They're the place to be this fall. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Their featured selection for fall is Scofflaw Brewing's Oktoberfest. Come out and enjoy a tasty ice-cold brew and some fantastic food made fresh to order. And I can attest to that. Their food is amazing. I'm talking about some of the best gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and Saturdays from noon to 9 p.m. And they are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia, and that's always fun, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Their food truck is also available. So if you're interested, call Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your private or corporate event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around. Thank you, Mike. And for all your business and continued support. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. We've kind of run out of time to do views or snooze or staff picks this week, but I think all of us watched the John Candy documentary last week, which was one of the views or snooze. Was that good or was
it good? Yeah, so good. God.
That last 15 minutes, man. I was I couldn't get to the tissues fast enough.
Well, that's I'm not prepared to cry yet. I think I text you guys that I didn't want to watch it.
Oh, yeah. You will.
I'd cry. But I will watch it, yes.
Have y'all watched that Charlie Sheen documentary on Netflix?
Yes. Yeah.
Is it worth watching?
Oh yeah. You'll get tons of material out of that if you watch it.
I mean, he's a lunatic.
Oh yeah.
Well, Josh, tell everybody where they can watch your show.
You can watch my show on AMC Plus and Shudder. Not on traditional cable, if you still use that.
Nobody does. All cord cutters. Hey, if you want to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. You can sign up there. The different levels. And you can also become an executive producer. For $25 a month, you get a t-shirt that takes half a year to get to you, but you won't get it. Don't worry. We're going to change that. But I want to say thank you to our producers. You get a shout out. You get a credit because you're the people that keep us doing this. So I want to thank the Walkman, the Allen Man, the Carter Man, the Chandler Man, Mike D, Jim Fortner, the Neely Man, the Roby Neely Man, Jeff Peterson Man, Tim Slayton Man, and Brian Man and Chelsea Woman Smith.
You've got a lot of like Ryobi Man.
Yeah, I think they're all Dutch.
Are these? Yeah, these are all their Christian names.
Either that or non-Christian names. I don't know. Everybody, check out Guts and Glory, AMC Plus, and Shudder. With Josh Warren and a bunch of other people who aren't as cool as Josh Warren. And it is created by and produced by Greg Nicotero, who someday will be on this show.
And it's really good.
And I would like to say to one of your sponsors, The Punchline, if you would like to, please go there, support a legendary comedy club that's, I'd say, a historical comedy club in Atlanta, and support live comedy.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And with all that, did I forget anything? Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon. Keep it canon.
May all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio.